Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to all of you to the Hyper Week radio show. It's amazing to welcome you all back on our fourth year of the Hyper Week, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. As you know, we've started the Hyper Week this year from 1st July to 7th of July, and we've really focused this year's topic on high potentials and how to leverage high potentials for becoming brand ambassadors. So far, the journey has been very exciting. This is our fourth day of the Hyper Week with a lot of activities that have happened, from webinars to CHRO roundtables to today our radio show with a very, very exciting guest that we have with us, and I'm going to be introducing him to all of you very, very soon. Come and join us on Twitter as well, the conversation. We're going to be taking some questions as well from Twitter, so please feel free to join us on Twitter and share those questions with all of us. I'm sure we've all been waiting for this radio show opportunity, so let me introduce you to our guest today, Praveer Jha, Global Chief People Officer at Cipla. Praveer doesn't need an introduction. He's been a leader who has created so many leaders as well, and we were just having this conversation. A CHRO with diverse experience, he has been leading HR for two New York Stock Exchange listed companies, and he's also been the CHRO of two Fortune 500 companies. Praveer, for all of you who know him, he's a leader who always looks for tremendous transformation, huge business impact, and very innovative thinker. So it's such a pleasure to welcome you, Praveer, to our radio show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Esther. Thank you for all the nice words. I'm delighted I have an opportunity of communicating with you and with our audience this morning.
Thank you. Thanks. We have with us as well Prashant Pandey. He's the country manager, Right Management, and he has been instrumental to help us put together this year's team along with his whole team. And really, I think Right Management, the expertise that they bring on the high potential career management, leadership development, and again, working with many industries, not only in India, but also outside of India, and bringing that expertise. So Prashant has a lot of experience in leading those transformation. And it's a pleasure, Prashant, to have you as well with us.
Thank you, Esther. Really looking forward to this conversation today.
Wonderful.
And I would like to thank Praveer.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, and I also wanted to thank Praveer for sparing his time to share his perspective on this important aspect. And, Esther, people matters, and we have been partners in bringing the Hyper Week, and this is our fourth consecutive year now. And if you remember, Esther, when we were discussing this entire concept 4 years back, it was more in terms of the recognition to this fact that organizations have a growing focus in terms of identifying hypos and investing on them as a driver to drive the strategic initiatives. And so it's been a real pleasure in terms of working with People Matters so closely over the years. And we have focused on so many aspects in terms of hypo programs, in terms of identifying hypos, how do you go about ensuring that you are betting on the best bets, in terms of how do you develop them, and also managing hypo careers. So it's been an exciting journey so far. When we were discussing in terms of what do we need to focus on, this whole interesting concept came up in terms of how can organizations really use their hypo programs to build their organizational brand. And the reason why we chose this topic was when we speak to organizations, everybody speaks about how they are struggling to find the right talent. And if this is a reality that organizations are struggling with, one of the important elements for organizations would be in terms of having a fairly strong employer brand, because it not only helps you retain your talent, but also attract talent from the external world. And when we were discussing with organizations, we realized that there may be multiple levers when you're trying to build your employer brand. It was interesting to sort of explore with organizations in terms of how they have leveraged the high potential programs and the HIPOs per se to build their employer brand. And so you are aware that we conducted this survey as part of the HIPO week, and the results were pretty interesting in terms of this realization that organizations still have a lot to do in terms of one, realizing this fact that HIPO programs, if they have invested in terms of building a strong high potential program in the organization, this realization that we can use this as a lever to build their employer brand is still, it's still in its infancy stage right now. And it was interesting that, organizations using the high potential programs, the number of organizations that we surveyed, the numbers was less than 50%. It was around 45% in terms of organizations are really doing this. So we thought this would be an interesting conversation to have, and I'm really looking forward to hear from Praveer in terms of what his views are in this around this area. So I really, without much ado, I would want to hand it over back to you, Esther, so that you can have this conversation with Esther. I'm really looking forward to your views on this.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thanks, Prashant. Thank you very much for setting the context. And yes, you're absolutely right. I think the conversation today will really focus on three main areas. One is on how high-potential programs themselves can be a lever for organizations to leverage as an employer brand opportunity. And then also, how do we leverage the HIPOs themselves as, I would say, an asset of our brand, both internally and externally. So really, that's what we're going to focus this morning. So let me get started with the first question, Praveer, for yourself. And as Prashant was saying, many organizations are hesitant to talk about HIPO programs internally. So Liri, let alone probably using HIPO programs as an employer brand asset. What's your view there? Is there an opportunity for organizations to really leverage their HIPO programs as a attraction and a retention tool? Or you think it's early days because organizations are still reluctant to even very transparently talk about those programs?
Thank you, Esther. I know that I am known for some candor, so with your permission, I will be absolutely straight. I think companies enjoy practicing the art of appeasement. You know, companies and many leaders in companies like to buy peace. They shy away from difficult conversations. Socialism actually guides a lot of talent thinking. And I think this is the biggest tragedy when it comes to looking at talent, because talent will always define itself. A high potential will always define itself, whether internal or external. So I think it's largely a cultural reality, particularly with many companies in India, which shy away from differentiation. So whether you talk the bell curve or you talk about marking people out, taking bets on people, the fear that some others will be grumpy and I run the risk of upsetting many more people. So I believe leadership in many corporations, unfortunately, have become victims of appeasement. And that is the reason why you do not have either stated and articulated HIPO programs, or even if you don't have an articulated one, you shy away from marking people out. So this is the bane in many, many companies. Even if we make lip service to the cause, I think the practice of that commitment is low, because it's all about taking bets with some people. You can't take bets with all people at the same time. And there are intended and unintended consequences of a HIPO program, you know, both for people who make it and for people who don't make it. So, you know, just to kind of set the conversation going, I think unless corporates clear their conscience and their belief system? Do they want to play the game of the masses, or do they really want to kind of place their bets on a few people at different points in time and, you know, nurture them? Because I believe managing talent is fundamentally an art of differentiation and focused effort. You can never have the time, effort, and money to do everything for everyone. So that's really where the problem is.
Absolutely. So tell me, in your experience, those organizations that you have seen being able to really differentiate talent and do it in a way that it's sustainable and it's scalable, do you think they're able to leverage and really get more value from those HIPO programs as a talent
I think very,
attraction?
No, I think very, very clearly they do. And, you know, I was part of... not only being part of some, it was not called a HIPO program, but the effect of it was very clear. I have benefited myself. I was well under 40 when I became the CHRO of a NYSE-listed company, a leading company in India. And in that particular organization, we ran a program of picking people up very early. And there were many, many people who we brought into the management team, the top leadership team of the company, when they were in their 30s. One was as young as 32. Now, to be able to pick these guys out, and I think it was one of the finest management teams that I have been part of. They were all very young, very, very well educated. It is so inspiring for people, A, within the company, to look at people who can get to the top levels and become CXOs in their companies so ahead of time. There is people worry at times about experience. I believe experience is not about the number of years or how many strands of hair is gray. It's really about, are you able to think a different future, and are you able to inspire people to kind of get to that future? So I think it's tremendous for morale of people. I also must share that in my experience, there are a few grumpy guys for whom the choice is clear. Either you kind of align or you look for somewhere else. But many, many people actually are not bothered about whether the guy is young or old, but is he or she the right leader? And I think that's really where, you know, both fairness and deliberate, resolute action is important. Externally, if you ask me, I have had the same experience. We were attending an investor meet, and the entire management team, most of it, I think about 65-70% of people were HIPOs. They were in their 30s. And we had feedback, and I saw some mails being written to the CEO of that company where the analyst said that this is possibly the finest management team in the country. And at the end of the day, at the core of it, it was just making sure that you had a set of high potential leaders, you know, sitting there and kind of defending and explaining and outlining the purpose of the organization and taking it to its height. So it has a huge rub off in both attracting talent. People like to work with high potential leaders. Typically, they are more self-assured. If people have been betted on, I find from my experience in companies, such leaders also take bets on their talent. They are able to differentiate more naturally. They are able to look for high potential in their own teams ahead of time than people who have been more prisoners of years of experience. So I guess, you know, the choice is very clear for companies and leaders. If you want to be, you know, pardon my saying this, like my first employer, the government of India, then you go for a very standard socialistic model and keep it going. But with the implications of speed, pace, agility, and impact. The other is that, you know, you keep raising the bar, and this morning I was tweeting along similar lines. And at the end of the day, it's about raising the bar each time and every time, and people surprise you. And that's really what a high potential program is all about.
Wonderful, 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 Praveen. Thank you so much. So once we get a little deeper on these concept about the hypos themselves being a leverage for the employer brand or brand ambassadors, tell me a little bit about what has been your experience about how to leverage high potential talent internally to create that kind of culture or that kind of effect that really percolates what you're trying to do as a business, and you're actually leveraging the high potentials themselves internally. What are the opportunities that organizations can leverage high potentials for internal brand ambassadorship?
So first, Esther, is that I presume an organization is clear in its heart and mind that it wants to talk and celebrate high potential. If they are still confused, then nothing will move. But assuming that bridge has been crossed, the first is you talk about high potential. You talk about it publicly without feeling embarrassed, without trying to do it, you know, behind the walls. You let the world know that this is what we are doing and these are some of the people. And this is why they are a high potential. So first, the leadership itself must talk about it so it gets a legitimacy and is not seen as a you know, cloak and dagger operation that, you know, we are doing it, but no one should get to know. So that's the first part. The second part is, from my experience, I have leveraged a lot of hypos in some of our very high-impact transformation projects. It could be organization transformation, it could be business transformation, it could be a very focused business enhancement project. And my personal experience has been they have done a fantastic job. They have been as outward in as inward out. And I think a lot of, as you asked me this question, as I recall experiences, these are people who have actually led it, who have conceptualized it, and who have helped implement it. And you give a lot of credit, you give a lot of natural visibility to people, and by default, they therefore become ambassadors of a program or of a philosophy of being hypos. Otherwise, they'll always be seen as sons-in-law of, you know, certain leaders or of a company, which incidentally is a risk in some organizations also, where I've had this question, just because they happen to be part of a certain elite club, is it that they are to be taken care of for life? And the answer is clearly no, because no one is a hypo for life. You've got to retain your ticket to be on the train each time and every time. But that's one that you do. You talk about it, you put them on high impact, high visible projects, typically CFT projects, so they also get to work with each other. And in that process, if they do well, they get more celebrated and recognized. I also think an idea which is very good for people to attempt is, how do you actually get them to be mentors to maybe the next level of high potential people? Because I have found bright young people want to be mentored by bright young people. They don't want to be mentored by average guys. They don't want to be mentored by very, very senior guys for the sake of it. And I think it's a great leadership exposure, because they are mentoring people who are not their reports, but people in other parts of the organization. So A, the reputation, the lunch table conversations change. The person gets discussed, and if he or she is really the right kind of a person, I think it adds to the brand reputation of both the person and also the philosophy that the company is doing. And of course, you know, another breed of people get inspired and get mentored, and that's that done early is a huge benefit to the organization. And the last thing that clearly comes to my mind is, I think, you know, the opportunity of representing the organization, you know, and or it could be their business internally, or even, for example, on campus visits. You know, how do you make them part of recruitment teams? Because one of the biggest worries I have, many, many people who hire are not people who are inspiring leaders. And I've had in my experience candidates share with me, I love the job, I love the opportunity, but I don't love the guy I'm supposed to work with. If you put some of these high potential guys as part of the recruitment effort for an organization, they can be very strong talent magnets. And internally also, their reputation rises because they get to work and interact with people who might even be senior as part of these panels. So these are some areas by which, more in the art of doing and endorsed by the leadership talk, do you actually give internal visibility not only to the people, but to this entire program, which is a hypo program.
So it's interesting you gave us some instances and some ideas. And you also mentioned that it's an art, really. And I'm inclined to ask you, is there a way to actually measure whether all these things that, you know, you're leveraging high potentials to try to drive business impact, how do you know you're in the right track? Is there any way to measure, or is there a KPI that you think is relevant in this context?
So there are going to be a combination of both quantitative and qualitative measures. Some could be lead, some could be lag, like in many things in the field of HR. You know, for example, if you were to look at business, if you put some of these hypos with very clearly business tasked projects, it could be either leading a country or leading a particular business line or leading a certain mission critical project, the success and the quality of success of that program, you know, is a huge ratification whether your hypos really are hypos, because they are doing a job which is a step up. They are doing it earlier than normal, and they are doing things which are not, you know, the usual run-of-the-mill campaigns. So I think if more of your hypos, the percentage of your hypos who get deployed for these projects, you know, is one measure. The quality of success of these hypos in these projects is even a more material element of whether the hypo program is actually adding value. So one is from a hardcore business impact in the near term, which is what adds to the legitimacy of some people being marked out and being treated differently. So that's where they earn their reputation and earn the respect of the system. As a program, there are many other dimensions. For example, when you typically look at promoting people to higher categories, you know, you always look at what percentage of your hypos actually got to be moved faster than others. Was the percentage improving? Was it healthy? Was it actually that they were called hypos but they never made the higher grades? So I think if you start tracking it, you also have feedback on the quality of your hypo, both identification process and the way the program moves. So that is another dimension that is very important. Another issue that I find very useful is that, you know, if you really run a hypo program, typically you do your talent reviews as a regular feature year on year. And it's very interesting that people who get spotted as a hypo, not 100% of them remain a hypo, let's say, after 5 to 7 years. Some continue to remain hypo even as they have moved up. They continue to be hypo for future roles. And it all depends on how you define hypo. But some people fall off the radar. And of course, some people get scalped by headhunters. So it's a combination of all of that. But the measure of your success is how many of them remain hypo, you know, over a longitudinal time, which means that you spotted them early, moved them fast enough, and they continue to remain hypo for, you know, the still more senior roles. So some of these are important. If you were to look at, you know, the program itself, your retention measures, if they were hypo and you've got 50% attrition of your hypos, then there is an issue that, you know, you created a good program, but someone else is benefiting. So combination of business impact, the ratio of how many of them created what kind of a difference, the promotion proportion, and also issues around retention and the continuity on the hypo program over a longitudinal time period are some ways in which you can actually start tracking on how well the program is doing.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. Thanks, Praveen. So you had mentioned in a few minutes ago how high potentials are also really critical, I think, when you were mentioning the context of going to campus and really bring that opportunity for those leaders to inspire and attract talent. Where else do you see high potentials being leveraged today as brand ambassadors outside of the organization? So one is campus, as you very correctly said. What other areas do you think high potentials can be leveraged externally?
Yeah. So I believe that there is a huge opportunity for high potentials to be seen and heard on different platforms and forums. It always doesn't have to be the CEO or the CXO speaking. And let me make a personal confession. In my own role as a CHRO and in my own function, I have always been able to attract and keep some very, very high potential people. And one of the things which I have done is I get a lot of speaking invites. I mean, it is impossible for me to accept each one of them. But more importantly, I have leveraged every such opportunity for a hypo in my team to go and speak and be heard, to have a point of view, because it adds to the brand ambassadorship of the company, of the function, and also of the individual. And that's how you nurture and sustain, even if the guy did not do as well. It is an investment that you have made, because it's all about confidence building. It's all about projecting the guy. And the person does that. So that's one. Similarly, if there are high potentials, I encourage them to write. At the end of the day, a high potential must be a thought leader, must be a thought shaper. I mean, is the person expressing his or her point of view. So create opportunities, and there are many, many in different functional areas, opportunities of industry interface. So if you are able to allow them the opportunity to speak, represent the company, I think it sends a very strong signal also to the external audience that here is an organization, here is a leader who's betting on his or her people. They are coming, they are articulating, and if they are the right kind of guys, it's a tremendous turbo boost to the reputation of an organization. So I think those are important opportunities. There are also different occasions and where, you know, different companies get together as a consortium. It could be within an industry, it could be cross-industry, where you are either working on common industry-wide projects, or you're working on influencing, let's say, government policy, or you're trying to collaborate on something altogether different. Again, I've had experiences where you pick some of the brightest hypos and put them as part of that consortium effort. So they also learn from other industry or other company perspectives. But what happens is they actually represent you and the agenda of high potential even to an external audience. And to me, that feeds beautifully to the self-confidence both of the individual and of the program.
Wonderful. So if everybody, I mean, you've given us a very beautiful gamut of opportunities. What are the challenges that you think we need to be aware of? Because at the end of the day, they're also representing our brand short-term but long-term. What are those challenges that we should be worried about or be aware of?
So Esther, I'll be very honest. The first challenge is how do we get comfortable making type 1 errors and how do we ensure we don't make a type 2 error? And a type 1 error is some good people will still be left out. Any program, any identification process, any screening that you do, there will always be some good people who would not get onto the bus. And I think companies just have to get comfortable with it, because do what you will, the counter argument is don't run such a process and a program, which is suicidal in today's times, because as I wrote once a media article, if you don't bet on your people, someone else will. So I think it's important that companies get comfortable with the fact that there will be some omissions, and it's okay. It's equally important for them, for companies and leaders to be aware you don't make a type 2 error, because that is suicidal, that's cardinal, which means you don't just get in a guy in the program because you like the guy. It must therefore be a well-reasoned, a commonly owned process, and it should be as fair, as mature as possible, but don't get the wrong guy in. That's the type 2 error. So I think that's the first fundamental caveat I would suggest, that something you should be watchful of. Second, how do you make sure that high potential is not seen as an act of coronation, but is actually seen as a suggestion or a hint of greater accountability? So you don't necessarily make the guy feel high and mighty. You might want to reward the guy differently in different ways, but more importantly, it's about how do you take greater risks with the person but expect greater accountability and results. Keep the bar high. That is very, very important. And that was one of the tweets that I wrote today, that, you know, people surprise you when you raise the bar. And in a successful hypo program, the important thing is it is not to defend that because the guy was a hypo and you have to make the guy look or make your program look good, make success a little suspicious. So this is one trap that companies fall into, because you like to make sure that, you know, they succeed, and you succeed just by lowering the bar rather than raising the bar. So that's the second thing that is very important. The third that should be very, very important is rotate hypos. Many a time the hypos get hijacked by an individual leader, or the companies get over-dependent keeping a hypo in a certain role for too long. Now, howsoever good the guy is, a hypo will remain a hypo only when he or she delivers sustained breakthrough impact through different roles in different contexts and with different stakeholder combines. I think this is another trap that organizations should be very wary of. And the last thing is, it is very important to make sure that if a hypo is not doing a great job, also be honest and get him off the list. Now, you can do it formally, you can do it informally. People are wise, they all pick signals. Because a lot of credibility of a program is to make sure that it is by invitation a program, and it is by impact that you sustain your reservation. Otherwise, it is not something that you are crowned for life with. I think if these four things companies can be very watchful of and make a sustained effort to cross their heart and be honest, I think you have a possible HIPO program which will strike deep roots and help the company directionally for all times.
Wonderful. So I haven't realized that we actually just have 2 minutes to go. If you can believe it, Praveer, we've been in this conversation for 25 minutes and it's just been so fantastic. But I want to make sure we take some of the questions from the audience as well. So I'm going to pick up, we've received many of them, but I want to have to prioritize two of them. So with all our listeners' permission, I am picking the liberty to choose. So there's a question from Rohan. Who's asking, are high potentials contextual to a work environment?
Yes, they are, and they always will, because a person may be a high potential in a certain cultural reality or in a certain industry reality or in a certain competition reality or in a certain demographic reality. So it is very, very contextual, but someone who is a true high potential is a person who is also agile and very flexible in his orientation. But the simple answer is yes, but ideally we should try to make the person remain a high potential across contexts.
Wonderful. So I think a follow-up question on that, and I think you mentioned that through our conversation, Praveer, as well, about the fact that if you're in the HIPO program, it's not a ticket for life. You have to keep earning that. And there's a question from Urvashi saying, how many HIPOs remain HIPOs in your experience when you look back at all the high potential programs you've seen throughout your career, and whether that's actually a ratio or a measure of success of your HIPO program? Can you correlate that, or you think that has absolutely no connection one with the other? So two parts of the question. The first question is, in your experience, how many high potentials stay as high potentials as a ratio? And the second, is that an indication of how robust or how strong your HIPO program was?
Okay. So the first is very clear, depending on what time frame you want to look at, but over a 5 to 10 year period, if you have a 50%, anything between a 30 to a 50% continued HIPO status, I think it's very good. Because remember, the HIPOs also are going up through a pyramid. So the jobs at the top within the company are going to be lesser and more people compete for the same job. So 30 to 50% is fairly healthy over a 5 to 7 year, 10 year period. Also remember that some of your HIPOs are likely to be scalped by competition. So sometimes if you are a mature organization, you should also take heart from the fact that maybe someone who did not make the cut within your organization got scalped by some other organization is also a reflection of the quality of the HIPO program that you run, which is okay. So that's the first part that you answered. The second, Esther, was a question on?
The second is, you were saying 30 to 50% continuing is a good number.
Yeah.
So if I, for example, if I have less than that, does that mean that my high potential program is not robust enough? If I have more than that, is there a correlation between that number and the robustness of the program?
So I don't know whether there is a direct correlation, but this I believe is a healthy statistic from my experience, because of the reason I cited. As people go up, not everyone remains high potential for the next level job in the same organization, right? And some people, therefore, either get headhunted. Some people fall off the radar. That's also been my experience. In fact, it's possible that 20% of your people who start off on a HIPO program 7 years later may not remain high potential. It's possible, because the asking rate changes as you move from one level of a job to another. So does it impact the quality of the program, or does it speak? You know, in a way, yes, but it also depends on how mature your process is. So initially, when you're starting on a HIPO program, don't get too discouraged, because it always starts small till you mature the process. And once the system has matured, actually keep the bar high. So at the end of the day, to me, it's like a commando program, in the army. I mean, it's very difficult for everyone to kind of, come through with a dagger's trophy in a commando program. But the bar should be high. And you continue to invest, because the fundamental premise is that if you run a very robust HYPO program, you get disproportionate returns on the investment. So it's not just about the numbers of people, but what percentage of these people made what disproportionate impact to the fortunes of the company. And I think that is what is the true reflection, not how many people remain on the program, because the bar must continue to be going higher and higher with every passing year.
Wonderful. Wonderful, Praveen. And I'm just conscious about time, but I'm so glad that we've covered so much. And you're talking about commando teams, and I think this was a commando radio show because we've covered so much in just 25 minutes. And I want to thank you because I know how extremely busy your day is, and you taking off time to share all these learnings with you, I think it's been fantastic. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me, and thank you for all your sharp questions. As always, I hope it has helped some of our listeners. So thank you very much, Esther.
You're most welcome. So thank you, Praveen, for joining us, and thanks, Prashant, as well, to being there. You want to share a closing remarks before we close the radio show?
Yeah,
Prashant?
And I think, I will make your thank you so much a bit longer. Thank you so much, Praveen. I think it was really reassuring to hear some of your comments, and as part of the consulting that we do for organizations, some of the points that you made really, sort of echoed so much with me personally. For example, that you need not be defensive about your HYPO programs, and leaders really need to speak about them very confidently in open forums. So the points that you made have really made so much sense to us as an organization, to me personally as an individual. And really looking forward, Esther, to continuing this HYPO, I don't know what to call it, a journey or what with People Matters. So thank you, everyone. And thanks, Praveen, once more.
Thank you very much. Take care, guys. See you.
Thank you. Thanks, Praveen. So thanks, each one of you as well, for joining us this morning. Look forward to tuning in again with some interesting new episodes that are coming up in the HYPO Week. This week, join us to our HYPO Week Twitch chat tomorrow, along with Sujaya Banerjee and Parul Pandey from SR and Microsoft respectively, and Prashant also. We please make sure you're also joining us in the Twitch chat tomorrow. So as we close the radio show, we wish each one of you a great day ahead, and we look forward to tuning in again tomorrow. Cheers. Thank you.